Brother Ken has asked that we read from James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. In this lesson about faith and works, Abraham is given an example. Abraham is being called a friend of God. As I read over that, how I long for that to be my name also, that Brian would be called a friend of God. And I'm certain each of us have that desire. Our Lord says he counts us as a friend in John if we do what he commands. What a challenge for us that our works would match our faith. Reading from James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Ye see then how that by the works of man, a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Shall we kneel for prayer?
The topic for this evening is found in James chapter 2, the scripture that was read in the opening, James 2, 14 through 26. You may want to turn in your Bibles to that as we look at this portion of scripture this evening. And we could entitle it, Show Your Faith by Your Works. As an introduction, there were Jews at that time who had previously been entwined in extreme legalism. This took place under the law, and they were under bondage in many cases to traditions and laws, and actually there was a self-righteous type of works religion. And here we see that James deals with this topic of works because it is related. Over the previous centuries, the religious leaders had added to the law additional burdens in the form of traditions that they laid on men's shoulders. Jesus talks of that in Matthew 23 and verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not more than with, will not more than them with one of their fingers. And so we see that even though they were willing to lay these burdens on other people, they were not willing to use one finger to lift them themselves. And so when the message of salvation through grace came along, some of the Jews were immediately attracted. And they mistakenly assumed that this new Christianity demanded nothing in the way of works. Such people would make a profession of believing about Christ, but with the notion that because works were not necessary for salvation, then works were not important at all. And it was to the opposite extreme. James, in the lesson passage, addresses this misconception. Now, on top of that, at first glance, as we begin verse 14, what doth it profit my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? The question is asked, you know, is faith enough? And then we read in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. There seems at first glance to be a contradiction, but we know that there is no contradiction in God's word. And we want to point out as we go through that definitely faith is demonstrated by our works. A key phrase in this passage is, though a man say. That phrase is key to understanding the entire passage. James does not say that this person actually has saving faith, but that he claims to have faith. James goes on to say that if faith is genuine, it will produce good works. The two go hand in hand. You cannot separate the one from the other. Works devoid of faith is an empty form of legalism and self-righteousness. Faith devoid of works is dead. You need both. Back under the law, we have what Jesus described in Matthew 23:5, but all their works, and it was a self-righteous type, they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. We'd like to look at different types of faith. And the first one is dead faith in verses 15 through 17. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needed or needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Galatians 6, in that chapter we read, and as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. The illustration James gives here is of a person who is in need. They are lacking proper clothing for warmth and protection. They are lacking food to sustain their physical bodies. And he gives the possibility of such a person or persons walking in, maybe in a service like we have here this evening, and we all witness such an individual, a brother or a sister, and we know them, and we sit here and we have the provision to help them. What would you think of anyone here if they would say, depart in peace, God bless you, without doing anything to help? Here's a brother or sister who definitely is showing they need help. And we say, greetings to you, depart in peace, God bless. And it stops there. That illustration James is using to compare the person who says he has faith and then no works to back it up. Matthew 25 addresses that type of action. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. True faith is faith in action or works. I remember back in the late 1950s, we lived in East Berlin, and things were much, much different then than they are now. My mother would not have sent us on a mission such as she did then if we lived in times like these. But it was a little town of East Berlin. Everyone was friendly. There was a little store right down the street there on Harrisburg Street. And she sent my brother Alan and I in a little red wagon down to get a big chunk of ice. And back then they didn't sell bagged ice crushed or in cubes in the stores. And so we bought cubes, blocks of ice, and used an ice pick to make them into smaller chunks. And I'm not sure what she was planning to do, maybe make ice cream. I have a very faint memory of this, and yet it's very strong. I don't know how old I was. I had to be somewhere around 8 or less years. And so my brother and I set off down the street in our little red wagon. We went to the store. We had the money. We made the purchase. The proprietor put the block of ice in the little red wagon, and we set off toward home. Well, we did not anticipate the dynamics of gravity when a wagon goes over a curb in the wrong way. And so we pulled that wagon along the sidewalk, but then came to an alley, and lo and behold, our inexperience in maneuvering a wagon over a curb caused the wagon to tip over and the ice to roll out. There it was, on the street, a slippery, cold, heavy block of ice, and two little boys that didn't know what to do. And so a man came along. He had the potential to help. He cared. He talked to us, and I think he was kind of amazed that we were out there on this mission, as I remember correctly. But had it stopped there, he would have had no works to back up his concern and his capability to help. You might say he had faith without works, if that's all the further he would have went. But he reached down, he tried to comfort us, and he picked that block of ice up and he set it without effort right back in the little red wagon. And we headed off toward home without any problems. But he did give us some admonition and some instruction that we're to be careful when we come to curves and to go down straight. And we made it home with that block of ice. There was faith in action. He believed he could help. He knew he could help, but he had to put that into action in the form of works. Any declaration of faith that does not result in a changed life and good works is a false declaration. Faith alone is dead. It has been said that it is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. That statement solves the conflict upon which there has been many arguments and debates, faith and works. Faith alone is dead. And faith alone justifies. But faith that justifies can never be alone. It is put into works. We want to look, secondly, at demonstrated faith. James 2:18, yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You may have heard the little ditty that says your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. I don't know if you could follow that. Hopefully you could. Another way of describing that would be this battery. I think you all recognize this as a D-size cell battery. Many uses. One of the uses would be a flashlight. Now, within this battery, there is potential energy. And for those of you who have studied science, you've probably heard the terms potential energy and kinetic energy. Potential energy is stored energy. What we have right here is potential energy. There is energy stored in this battery. Kinetic energy is energy in motion. Now, this battery alone is like faith, but it does no good. It's basically dead. Even though there's energy in there, it's worthless unless it's hooked up to something, inserted in something. And so if we take a flashlight and place this battery along with another one in a flashlight, there's still potential energy. It will only be kinetic energy when that battery power is connected in a circuit to a light bulb, which has a filament, that when there is a surge of current, there is resistance and light is created. And now what we have is kinetic energy, energy in motion. That is an illustration of our faith. Only genuine faith will be demonstrated through action and good works. You might call it kinetic energy. It is energy in motion. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The purpose of any good works is so that God will get the glory, so that He is the one who receives all the praise and all the credit. Another way would be to illustrate it through a pen. This pen right now has potential energy. It's a energy of position. And only when I open my fingers will that pen drop. And only then will there be kinetic energy, because I first had to work my fingers, and then there was energy of motion. So it is in our Christian life. We come now to another type of faith, which I find is rather amazing. I have entitled it demonic faith. Verses 19 and 20, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils," or the demons, "also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Obviously, it is not a saving experience to believe and tremble, because the devils have that quality. They believe and they tremble. A person can be enlightened in his mind, even stirred in his heart, and he can be lost forever. True saving faith involves something more. Something that can be seen and recognized as a changed life. There's another scripture that would bear this out. If you remember Jesus, as he walked on the face of this earth, one day encountered the demoniac of Gadara. In Mark chapter 5, you can read of that account. And we see a sight there, as we read from Mark 5, of a man who was uncontained. He ran naked among the tombs. They chained him in fetters, and he could not be bound. He broke that metal like it was thread. Now, obviously, that man was possessed, as we read in this count, not by a single demon, but by a legion, as they describe themselves. He screamed out day and night as he ran between the mountains and the graveyard, cutting himself with stones. It must have been a horrid sight to behold and to witness. And one day, this man saw a boat approaching and recognized one of the occupants. Now, how could he know that this man was Jesus? But we know that there were things going on in the unseen world that maybe are not in this account. I would like to think that those demons that controlled him knew that this was the master of the universe, and he had the ultimate power over any demonic power. So in Mark 5, I'd like to turn to that. Verse 6. "And when he saw Jesus, he ran and worshiped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Now, what was Jesus' response? He addressed the demon who talked through this man. And he said, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And the conversation ensued there, and you know the account of how they asked to be placed in the herd of swine, and they ran violently down into the sea. It illustrates a point that those demons knew the power of God. They believed that power, and they trembled. But it was not saving faith. They did not have the capacity to believe as a human being has, to believe in faith and have a changed life. So there is demonic faith, and James uses this illustration to show that just because a man may say they have faith, they believe that that's enough. Even the demons do that much. And then we look at dynamic faith in James 21, James chapter 2, 21 to 25. Gives the illustration there of Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar. And by his works, his faith was made perfect. And then he mentions Rahab. Likewise also was not Rahab, in verse 25, the harlot, justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. In this comparison, you cannot find two more different people, a Jew and a Gentile, a godly man and a sinful woman, a friend of God and one who belonged to the enemies of God. But what did they have in common? Both exercised saving faith, and their works demonstrated it. Faith was made perfect. Faith was made complete in Abraham by what he did. Abraham was not saved by faith plus works, but a faith that works. D.L. Moody said, every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. He did not say that because he was a successful shoe salesman. Dynamic faith leads to action. It's not merely intellectual affirmation or even emotional involvement. It leads to obedience on the part of the will. It continues throughout life. You may have heard the story about a girl who kissed a frog. And she believed that it would turn into a handsome prince. The next day, she took the frog to school. And her friends asked, hey, what's with the frog? It's not a frog, she replied. It's a prince. Meanwhile, the frog was saying croak, croak, or rivet, rivet, whatever you want to attribute to them. The reality is that it didn't matter how much she insisted her frog was a prince, her friends weren't fooled, were they? They just thought she was crazy. The same is true of a person who claims to be a Christian but doesn't act in a way that honors the Lord. People know faith without works is dead, regardless of what a person says. The concluding analogy in verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I call this the coffin comparison. Dead body, dead faith. You have an active body, you have genuine faith. My prayer for each of us is that our heart's desire would be to have a vibrant faith that demonstrates itself in action, and that people around us would know that we have been with Jesus.